with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! No, I'm really here. Just took a minute. Oh. Howdy, again, some more. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. Yeah. It is the 25th day of July, 2016. Opening day of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hoo-wee! It's hot in Philadelphia, and I ain't talking about the temperature. I'm kind of stumped, stymied, and flummoxed on just exactly how to pull this all into some sort of cohesive whole, so that we can get all the morons lined up for Moran Monday, because it is. The 25th day of July, 2016 is a Moran Monday. And we're swamped. We're absolutely swamped. So, pardon me if I'm a little scatterbrained. Let's see, let's get through the preliminaries. Good evening to the chat room. If you'd like to, jump over to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and hop right in there into the zany, merry, madcap extravaganza of the real-time multimedia nature that is the Horn chat room. You'll be greeted by Anatole and Hoghead and Jug of Punch, Labor Man, Steve from Georgia Stan, Tim from L.A., and Trey, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Sparky being, of course, a third-stage guild navigator who, although Arrakis is hot, apparently the man cave is even hotter, so he won't be folding space today. Yeah, oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. Right, yeah. It's 104 degrees where Sparky is. Here in the fabulous Horn studio, it's 82 and something considerably more than that outside. The little air conditioner in the window of the bedroom here has been pulling something like a gallon of water a day out of the air. Yeah, it's kind of humid here. Mm-hmm. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out loud and clear on my 1976 Apple I on this Moran Week of Futility Monday. Thank you, Asa. Thank you. It's going to be... It's gonna be kind of nuts today, and maybe all week. And let's go through the scheduling thing again. Because this is kind of a sorry, screwed up, mixed up, muddled up week. I will be out Thursday and Friday, because once a year, the last remaining member of my family comes up and visits. And we have shrimp, and we grill, and they play with my grandkids, their grand nephew, nephews, niece, Yeah, but anyway, and so that, but tomorrow is a bust as well. So we've got basically a two broadcast day week, and that and tomorrow, I wish I could say that, you know, I was just going to lay up, crack open a cold one, yeah, put my feet up by the smoker and work on a little barbecue. But no. I am instead going to deep throat a garden hose.
Now, Bob.
Well, yeah, honey, it's true.
But you'll have nursing care all day long. Never fear.
I will be.
I got you.
Yeah, she will. Agnes has promised to tackle me if I try to get anywhere near the microphone, while you know, because they give you these post procedural advices like don't make any significant financial decisions after you've had this stuff.
Yes, I'll be driving you, Bob.
Yes, you will. You'll be driving me. So I'm out tomorrow. But I should be good and sobered up by Wednesday. Which leads us to the fundraising part. Big thanks going out to Gary Laborman, who did have a show on me on Friday to take some of the pressure off of this week. We have, and so consequently, we have roughly $300 to raise. Need to raise about $300. It would be better tonight instead of Wednesday, simply because while I plan on being behind the microphone on Wednesday, it would be better. Well, so anyway, it'd be nice to, and to make that, more palatable. Our buddy Chris in Germany has kindly offered up a $100 challenge. So that if we get to the $100 mark, Chris will kick in the other $100. So that she will have thereby gotten us 2/3 of the way toward, and this is the other part of it, beating the Swede for 7 continuous months. And that is something. Something indeed. So, challenge on the table to the tune of $100. And with any luck at all, we'll knock that down. And if we do, that means July's fundraising is done. And the Swede is indeed, yea verily, beaten again. So that's where that all stands. You know, if you want to help out, run over to headonradionetwork.com, click on Contribute, fill out the fields there, everything except what you do and where you do it and why you do it, you know, all of that stuff. If you leave that blank, get to the next screen. If along the way you would like to click the box that says make this a recurring donation, you will be a monthly subscriber. You know, we're trying to find one of these days, somehow, some way, 400 $10 a month subscribers. Mm-hmm. And we don't quite have 100 yet. Okay, it's not even not quite. But we don't have 100. The subscription challenge is still on the table, courtesy of Building and Grounds Chairman Brother Deacon Gerald. Gerald will match the first $20 in monthly subscriptions. In other words, new subscribers. 2 new subscribers at $10, 1 new subscriber at $20. Brother Deacon Gerald's going to double your money. Okay? So, a couple of good opportunities on the table this evening. Head on RadioNetwork.com under the tab Contribute. Some people prefer the United States Postal Service. I have not had a chance to talk to Bossman Wayne because he's had a death in his extended family, so he's headed back up to the Pittsburgh area for the funeral. But he gets the mail, you know. And so, you know, when you send it, when you use the postal service, he's the one who takes off the spider-proof gloves and goes into the UPS store to our box there. And the address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And if he sees any Klansmen around, he takes a handy-dandy Louisville Slugger with him. But they haven't been around lately, so that's a good thing. Wouldn't want to aggravate Boss Man Wayne's rotator cuff or anything. So that's all of that. Let's see. I think we have a chance to sort of pick up where we left off, because there was a question. Oh, wow, that's obscene, Lottie. We've started with the food porn already. Lottie says, I made grilled oysters with garlic, shallots, and sherry wine vinegar mignonette sauce this weekend. I don't even know what mignonette sauce is, but I'm fine with just the grilled oysters with the garlic, shallots, and sherry wine vinegar. So, damn straight. Bring them. Yeah, yummy. You know, you'd be after the Tim Kaine announcement on Friday, which was kind of dismaying to us all, but we weren't particularly surprised. The Bob go to the liquor store messages poured in. Bob, go to the liquor store. It was quite inspiring, really. I didn't go to the liquor store. I'm trying to keep some happy innards for tomorrow's deep throating of the garden hose. What a delight. So, anyway, last Friday, I believe it was Scott in San Diego, brought up the question of, yeah, sure, I mean, we're all nervous about Trump beating Hillary, but, you know, what about Nate Silver? Nate Silver always gets it right. Well, let's start with an email from our buddy Gary, labor man. Subject line, Hillary gets negative convention bump. Yes, I said it. More breaking crazy-ass ideas to come. And by the way, the Gary adds, my $200 have a show on me is a challenge. I hope somebody chips in and covers the other show this week. So, yes, that actually and that would be a beautiful thing. That would be a beautiful thing. $300 worth of challenges on the table. The Have a Show on Me challenge. So, actually, $320 worth of challenges. We could actually finish July not just beating the Swede, but kind of thumping the Swede. Oh, fun. So, $320 worth of challenges on the table, and that will wipe out the whole week, and the Beat the Swede challenge for July, and actually kind of get us started on August. Anyway, Gary continues, I'm not crazy either. I just have this bad feeling that the optics of the convention will be Hillary being constantly booed and several fistfights on the floor. Cruz got booed. Trump stepped out to roaring cheers. Hillary steps out to roaring boos. See the difference in those images? Meanwhile, the media, as Gary observes, will be in a constant, perpetual orgasm. And I could not agree more. Marty says, tell Boss Man Wayne not to waste his rotator cuff on the unworthy. Marty, I will convey your greetings. Hello, Lady Agnes. She could sub for you, you know. No. All right. So, Gary's got a bad feeling. You got a bad feeling about this, man. I got a bad feeling. A lot of us have a bad feeling. Well, going back to the question that Scott asked during Friday on the Front Porch, what about Nate Silver? Nate Silver gets it right. Headline earlier this afternoon, about 1:44 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, shock poll. You want to sit down? Nah, you don't need to sit down. You're not surprised by this. You're not surprised in the least by this. Maybe the movers and shakers are. Maybe the members of the Democratic National Committee who describe trying to mobilize the Latino vote as taco bowl electioneering. No, they did that. It's part of the WikiLeaks dump. And we'll try to form some degree of sense out of the WikiLeaks dump here in a little bit. Headline, shock poll, Nate Silver's election forecast now has Trump winning. Mark the calendar. The day of her coronation convention opening. Boom. Nate Silver's election forecast now has Trump winning. You find it over at Salon. I remember Friday, because I can remember that far back. I remember Friday talking about how, you know, I got my little map out and started counting states, and I still got the back of the back of the envelope here with the states listed on it. And well, the 538.com has conveniently provided us with a map of their own. Let's see. No doubt about it, Trump states. Alaska, Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Utah, Arizona, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Stan. Iowa's pink, so is Nevada. Sure thing, Taliban, Indiana. Sure thing, Kentucky. Sure thing, West Virginia. Sure thing, Tennessee. Sure thing, Mississippi Stan. Sure thing, Alabama. Sure thing, Georgia Stan. Sure thing, South Carolina Stan. And then Florida, North Carolina, New Hampshire. Pretty pink. Ohio and Pennsylvania are pink-ish. Out of all, okay, so, all right, so what, Bob? The only dark blue states, now there are a ton of blood red states. The only dark blue states are California, New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Delaware, and Maryland. Maine is a really, really faint blue. Wisconsin, faint blue. Michigan, faint blue. Minnesota, faint blue. Colorado, faint blue. New Mexico, faint blue. Washington, Oregon, faint blue. Illinois, dark blue. Yeah, probably. The Salon writes it up as follows. It may not be a post-RNC bounce, but political analyst and statistician Nate Silver's latest forecast of the presidential election shows Donald Trump leading Hillary Clinton with a shocking 15 percentage point greater chance of winning if the general election were held today. After a parade of D-list celebrities and conservative icons yelled that the nation had been overrun by criminals in the cities and murderous, undocumented, zombie immigrants, I'm sorry, I added zombie, in border towns, the Republican Party's presidential nominee's current likelihood of winning stands at 57.5% compared with Clinton's 42.5%. What they call this over at 538.com is the nowcast. And it's designed to, as it sounds, predict the outcome of the election if it was held, you know, right now. If the election were held right now, 45.4% Trump, 45.1% Clinton, In the Electoral College, Trump would get 285 votes and Clinton 252.6. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, this is not good. They note in the Salon story that Nate Silver got 2008 and 2012 wrong. Nate Silver got 2008 and 2012 right. And when everybody else was saying, Willard Romney's going to mop the floor with that Kenyan muslin usurper, Nate Silver said, nah, not so fast. Yeah. He sees Trump winning Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Carolina, Iowa, Nevada, and New Hampshire. Nate Silver himself tweeted out the following. It's not Trump's convention bounce per se that should worry Dems. That's pretty normal. It's how it became so close to begin with. And that's where it is now. And that's where you call in the observation that has been proven time after time after time to be empirically correct, to wit, the observation made by Lawrence O'Donnell over at MSNBC that Hillary Clinton's poll numbers never go up. They only stay the same or go down. Meanwhile, what are you going to do? The convention has been gaveled open. Not by Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Oh, fuck no. No, they brought in the mayor of Baltimore to gavel in the convention. I read earlier today that there was a run on sales of Rotten Tomatoes in Philadelphia. They were just waiting for Debbie Wasserman Schultz to... there's a lot of people that want to play Rotten Tomato Whack-A-Mole with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And rightly so. The reins of the DNC, meanwhile, have been turned over to Donna Brazile, who is an unabashed old Clinton hack, who declared on one TV program or another over the weekend that Hillary Clinton won the nomination of the Democratic Party, her words, not mine, fair and square. Now, it's hard to look at the WikiLeaks emails and reach the same conclusion that Donna Brazile did. Brazile. Because the WikiLeaks emails are rife with incontrovertible proof that the DNC was in the tank for Hillary from jump. That having been said, I want to go back for a little historical perspective to the halcyon days of the year 2000. Al Gore was the vice president of an immensely popular Democratic president by the name of Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, it seemed, could do no wrong. The Republicans hated him so much that they impeached him. And yet, his approval ratings only kept going up. He helped create the prison industrial complex. His approval ratings kept going up. He signed the Telecommunications Act. His approval ratings kept going up. The whole Whitewater Monica Lewinsky, yada, 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 his approval ratings kept going up. Took Glass-Steagall out behind the barn and axe-handled it to death. Approval ratings kept going up because You know, we were in, and we were told constantly, this is the greatest post-war expansion of the economy ever. And his approval ratings kept going up. Lady Suki says, I'm not sure what the Telecommunications Act did. It created the fertile ground in which Fox News grew and media were consolidated into a tiny little handful of corporate owners. And that's what it did. But that's, you know, that's who Al Gore was vice president to. And if you recall, at the time, Bill Bradley, Senator Bill Bradley of New Jersey, decided he would primary Al Gore. And Al Gore thumped him from Maine to Spain and home to Rome. This isn't about primarying the candidate. Or primarying the incumbent. This is a question. Is there anybody out there who thinks that the DNC in the year 2000 was not solidly in the tank for Al Gore? Because they were. That neutrality business is a sham at best. There were no viable opponents to Hillary Clinton. She wasn't an incumbent, but she was the closest damn thing there could be to one. And she had spent 8 years building an internal machine at the DNC whose sole function was nothing more than to get her elected president. Now, there is a larger conversation to be had, and I suspect in, the early part of the second week of November, we may be having that conversation in the midst of some significantly bitter tears. But I'm not surprised that the DNC was in the tank for Hillary. She'd done everything in her power to make sure that it was. There wasn't much. I mean, Bernie hadn't done much in the way of anything at all, really. And that's not really where my problem lies. My problem lies with the way they were in the tank for her. And of all those WikiLeaks emails, the one that crawls under my skin the most thoroughly is the one where my state was invoked. Could we get somebody to ask whether Bernie's really a Jew leading up to Kentucky and West Virginia? I mean, Christians there will understand if he's a Jew, but they won't like it if he's an atheist. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the upshot of it. So it wasn't even anti-Semitism. It was anti-non-religionism. It was atheist bashing, because inherent in the email is the assumption that Bernie is an atheist. Now, Bernie has repeatedly said, no, I'm not an atheist. Bernie's stance on religion was a stance that would have had Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and every one of the founders and framers, Ben Franklin, George Washington, gathered around him, patting him on the back and saying, bless your little Jewish heart, you're absolutely right, son. That's why we put that thing in the Constitution there about how's there going to be no religious test for office. It is, in point of fact, actually counter-constitutional, if I may say it that way, to go blathering around the hustings talking about how much you love Jeebus and how much Jeebus loves you right back. Because in so doing, and God knows Hillary has done it with her Methodist faith, and, oh, Jesus, Tim Kaine has done it with his Roman Catholicism. That's contrary to the intent of the framers of the Constitution. They did not see religion as a conversation to be played out in a national, secular, governmental atmosphere. In the chat room, Lady Suki said, even if he was an atheist, who in the cares? Why is that such a bad thing in this day and age? Well, it's not a bad thing, Lady Suki. Among some people, it's a terrible thing. It's a thing that sends the flames of hell, even if they don't exist, licking at the soles of his little Jewish feet. Are you kidding? The question was posed about Kentucky and West Virginia. Our buddy Ron up in the air-sodden north sent me a photo essay the other day from Vice where they sent a photographer down to Appalachistan to photograph religion in Appalachia. And son of a bitch, we're not four photos in before there's a picture. Damn it. Of a rattlesnake crawling out of a goddamn box. Now, in this photo essay of religion in Appalachia, there is no photograph of, say, oh, the Hindu religious center down at Trace Fork in Charleston. There's no picture of the Islamic Center of the Kanawha Valley down toward Cross Lanes in Charleston. There's no photograph of Temple B'nai Hillbilly in Charleston. There's no photograph of the golden onion-domed Orthodox churches in Bluefield, Wheeling, Charleston. There's no picture of Roman Catholic churches. There's not even a photograph of, like, you know, a big old brick, respectable Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran or Episcopal church. We got a pretty little white clabbered Episcopal church right here where I live. Sweet little place. Don't know why they felt like they had to cut down all the trees in front of it. Now, probably to keep them getting knocked over into the church. Kind of old, did I mention, made of wood? There's no pictures of any of that. Instead, you get a picture of a goddamn rattlesnake. And you get pictures of a woman done up in some sort of white bedsheet clothing like a Mormon sister wife awaiting for her daddy husband. But instead, she's getting ready to get baptized and have her soul saved. One of the more interesting photographs of, I presume it's a little boy, pale pink, fair skin, blue eyes, and I hollered for Agnes, says, "You got to see this." And she said, "Is that you?" Well, it's not, but apparently I've got another generation of doppelganger walking around out there somewhere. There's you know, some dude in a $45 Kmart sport coat, a green dress shirt and a polyester tie, with a Mikey phone in his hand, hooting and exhorting the crowd. A building with the Ten Commandments on a big sign on it. Oh, and looky, looky, looky. There's a picture of somebody getting their feet washed. And I mention all of this. I mean, they're really good photography, by the way. It's over at Vice. If you want to see them, vice.com. There Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down, July 9th, 2015. Photos by Stacy Kranitz. Man, if you've never been to Appalachia, apparently the first thing you want to do when you come here and talk about religion is find you a snake handler. No pictures of Episcopal priests. No pictures of anything mainstream. Because, you know, we're just weird here in Appalachia. And I mention all of that because that's the mindset that attaches to that sleazy, scummy, slimy, filthy, disgusting email that was generated out of Debbie Wasserman Schultz's DNC. Because that's where they wanted the question asked. Because they knew that that Hillary was going to get her Methodist ass whipped in West Virginia, which she did. So that's the one that bothered me most. It is not, however, the one that bothered Tim from L.A. the most. The one that bothered Tim from L.A. the most was the Taco Bowl email. Taco Bowl politics. It stemmed from the photograph that the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, or as Jen in Australia refers to him, the orange tomato bug. And that fits. Oh, yes, that does fit. On Cinco de Mayo of 2016, tweeted out a photograph of him eating a taco bowl salad, saying, "I love Mexicans." And so his taco bowl became shorthand, even within the DNC, for outreach to the Latino community. Oh, their God. Brother Deacon Gerald pointing out, if you mean by cheating in the primary as fair and square, then yes, I suppose Donna Brazile is right. Oh, there, God, if Bernie had said he was an atheist, it would have been something to behold in this state. Cross lanes, 20 churches, 12 schools. Need I say more? Yeah, they put that on their Welcome to Cross Lanes sign. As Gerald points out, it's right there on their sign as you go into the city. Welcome to Cross Lanes, 20 churches, 12 schools. They're proud of that. And now, it turns out, and of course, the WikiLeaks thing, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz thing, is of course sucking all the oxygen out of the room. But if we can take a little bitty, teensy, tiny, itsy, bitsy, infinitesimal, microscopic, goddamn break from hating Hillary Clinton. Could we maybe pay attention to the story that Josh Marshall has bird-dogged down? Because it's a pretty interesting story. The long and the short of it is that, among other things, because of the fact that Donald Trump has proven in the United States that, and to this extent, he is a classic Republican, anything that isn't moving or nailed down, he will either fuck or steal. And he has fucked so many banks in the United States that the big ones that he who make the kind of loans that Donald Trump needs, because rest assured, he doesn't run out and build a building with his own money. That's the key to oligarchic wealth in the United States. You never use your own money. Gambling is fun as long as you're not gambling with your own money. See? He turned to Russian banks. And he has really, really cozy, long-standing relationships with Russian banks. And that means, just because of the way the oligarchy works in Russia, that he has a cozy relationship with Big Bad Vladdy Daddy, Vladimir Putin. Who, yes, 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 is as corrupt as the day is long. And if you don't think Vladimir Putin's corrupt, contact me, please. Because you're gonna love the bridge I have to sell you. It's a tremendous bridge. It's a beautiful bridge. It's such an excellent bridge. It's a fantastic bridge. And so then that wraps and rolls into the fact that, lo and behold, you know, understand something. Julian Assange, even beyond the fact that for reasons that are largely unexplainable, gets all kinds of progressive people all damp in their sexy time places. Julian Assange doesn't go out there and just find stuff. Stuff is handed to Julian Assange. And if you've ever bothered to actually read anything that Julian Assange has said, Julian Assange has said straight up, no kidding, no chaser, no sidecar, no Coca-Cola back, that he's more like an American libertarian. In other words, Julian Assange is far more like a Republican than he is anything resembling the values that are held by we who are, you know, progressives. And so it turns out that Russian hackers, and please, time out, okay, Jack, time out, okay? If you're a Russian hacker, you're not an independent agent. You're hacking on somebody else's ruble. And so it becomes fairly clear that Russia is trying to impact the American election in favor of Donald Trump out of some sort of sense of loyalty or money or something. Yeah. How do we know? It's one of those where you can kind of test the truth of it. How about Donald Trump Jr.? He was interviewed about some of this. So too was Hillary's really not particularly good at it campaign manager, Robbie Mook. Robbie Mook told CNN, what's disturbing to us is that experts are telling us that Russian state actors broke into the DNC, stole these emails, and other experts are now saying that the Russians are releasing these emails for the purpose of actually helping Donald Trump. I don't think it's coincidental that these emails were released on the eve of our convention here. I think we also need to be concerned that we also saw last week at the Republican convention that Trump and his allies made changes to the Republican platform to make it more pro-Russian. Well, that's when they called in Little Donald. No, not that Little Donald. Not the one that's like, you know, compared to Little Donald's stubby little fingers. His kid, who responded, "It's disgusting. It's so phony. I watched them bumbled through the interview. I was able to hear it on audio a little bit. I can't think of bigger lies, but that exactly goes to show you what the DNC and what the Clinton camp will do. It's a rigged system. It's disgusting. And the people should be fed up, because when I heard it, I certainly was. I don't mind a fair fight, but these lies and the perpetuating of that kind of nonsense to try to gain some political capital is just outrageous, and he should be ashamed of himself. If a Republican did that, they'd be calling for people to bring out the electric chair." Well, Little Donald, your father, I don't know, really. Lies like a rug. So hollering that the DNC, that somebody is lying about you or your daddy, yeah, it rings kind of hollow. A little note coming in from Ron in the air you can wear. North. Oh, God, how I miss the days of my youth in West Virginia when every election was honest and above board and there was none of the corruption and histrionics we see in politics today. You know what we need? We need a new, the next time the new set of emojis come out, we need a tongue emoji and a cheek emoji. The right white person, almost always male, got elected and everything went back to normal. That did happen, didn't it? Or am I just dealing with false memory syndrome? No, it happened. Devin says she wants World War III with Russia, but they don't want the war. I'm gonna need some empirical data to sort of back that up. Because it was Donald Trump who said, well, you know, unless they pay their protection money, we'll leave Estonia, Latvia, etc. We'll just let them hang out on the line to dry for a while. Hillary's a warmonger. She's not stupid. Wait. Okay. Hillary's a warmonger. Hillary likes to pick on little countries. Libya. Iraq. Syria. That woman would no sooner go toe-to-toe with the Russian bear than she would fly to the moon. I just don't see it. I mean, so there it is. Kind of all in a nasty little nutshell. Everything, well, not everything, running up to the beginning of the convention. Except for a couple of things. Bernie's own supporters booed him today. And I expect they will boo him again when he addresses the convention in primetime tonight. And that really does disgust me. It really does tell me a lot. Well, tells me a lot. He's being honorable. He's sticking to his word. He is doing exactly what he said he would do before he even ran for the office. And there are people out there who professed to support him who have now turned to booing him. You know what? You don't boo the home team. I don't care if it's basketball, football, beanbag, or politics. You don't boo the home team. Bernie Sanders put forward a vision of an America that would actually begin to work for a dramatically higher percentage of all of us. He went toe-to-toe with a damn near billion-dollar campaign with no concern for himself, laid it on the line, and forced a center-right shoe-in candidate, a coronation candidate for fuck's sake, to come over to his way of thinking. And his supporters booed him today and will probably boo him again tonight. Some of those same supporters have picked up the refrain from the Republican National Convention, which makes me kind of wonder about some things, chanting, "Lock her up," all over the place. Now, they did that last week in Cleveland, and they're doing it outside the convention in Philly. And there will probably be some of that inside the convention in Philly. And Jesus Christ, oh, the for-profit media will eat that with a spoon. So will Donald Trump. So will the RNC. I mean, he may have to rinse his Priebus repeatedly. He'll be so excited. Meanwhile, Jeff Weaver, Bernie's campaign manager, said, "Yeah, that needs to stop." This is a damn mess. It's a rotten mess. And to a certain extent, it's a mess of our own making. Devin says, "Syria is a matter of life or death for Russia. They can't allow Syria to fall out of their sphere of influence as they would lose access to their only warm water port to Turkey in the West." Okay. Devin says, thus, a no-fly zone over Syria means war with the bear. Still don't see it. But anyway, it's a little depressing. Arthur says they've been booing through the convention. Bothers me, to be honest. I think it'll calm down on the other days. I hope it does. And you know, I'll piss people off, I guess. Ron says, why do you say to a certain extent this is a mess of our own making? I think it's totally a mess of our own making. Well, it depends on what you mean by our. That was, you know, we didn't, you know, nobody hacked the DNC servers at the behest of Bernie Sanders or any of Bernie Sanders' people. If anybody was behesting, I think we know who was behesting. And, you know, all this comes, like I said, I'll be away from the mic tomorrow evening. I joke about deep-throating a garden hose. But I have a birth defect. It affects about 1 in 1 million human beings. It's an evolutionary thing. My guts are bass ackwards. And as I've gotten older, it has caused a significant amount of distress. And for my part, I haven't had a pain-free day for about the last 3.5-4 months. So tomorrow, I'm going to go and have an endoscopy. You know why I'm going to go have an endoscopy? Because I have the health care coverage to allow me to go and have an endoscopy. Because West Virginia signed on to the Medicaid expansion. And, well, it means that I can do things like stress tests and endoscopies and, oh my Jesus, occasionally colonoscopies, CT scans, things like that. That, and I don't want to put too fine a point on it, I could not do if I didn't have health care coverage. So, it's a fact that, and they made no bones about this, or the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini made no bones about this, he wants to get rid of that. Me and the millions like me who rely on that, he wants us not to have health care coverage anymore. And for anybody out there who lives in a fantasy land that and believes that somebody in the Congress will stop Trump, because I saw that silliness earlier today. Yeah, wake up. Live in this world. How many attempts did this Republican Congress make to repeal the Affordable Care Act? Did they get to 100? I can't remember anymore. I thought they were getting close. They crossed 50, didn't they? So when that Republican Congress, and we're not taking the House back, okay? I'm sorry, Jill Stein can't run for every goddamn seat in the House. We're not taking the House back. And if things continue to work out as tough as they look like they're going to, the Senate's going to be as Republican as can be. And so, when Trump is inaugurated, the first order of business if Hillary was inaugurated would be impeaching Hillary Clinton. The first order of business when Trump is inaugurated will be to make America great again by entirely repealing in toto the Affordable Care Act. Which means no more endoscopies, no more stress tests, no more blood work, no more medicine, no more surgeries, no more wellness visits. You know, Bernie was behind that. Maybe we can boo him for it, the wellness part and the rural clinics. None of that. For millions. Tens of millions of Americans. But somewhere, somebody will sit down and say, yes, but my conscience is clear. They will finally achieve the pinnacle of the success of the Republican health plan that Alan Grayson more than adequately described as if don't get sick, and if you do get sick, die quickly. So I'm going to watch all this, and I'll continue to see the Never Hillary hashtags from people who call themselves progressives run across my feed. And, you know, and I'll see the locker up hashtags. And I'll see the Dem exit hashtags. And there'll be a loop playing in the back of my head of Daffy Duck saying, thanks for the sour persimmons, brother. But that's me, and it's personal. Lucky me, my vote doesn't matter for shit in the presidential referendum. Because I live in a state full of Trumpanzees. Who are getting lots of roughage these days so they can shit in both hands and fling it at America. I wouldn't go across the street to see Hillary Clinton. But by God, she's not out there campaigning to take health care away from tens of millions of American people. And this is one of those moments where domestic policy takes a front seat to foreign policy. She's not out there running around saying climate change is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated upon the human population or the American people. Thanks, Jim Inhofe. Snowball. Fuckwit. And yes, she has picked as her vice presidential nominee a cold bowl of unsweetened cream of wheat. No, he's really sweet. Yeah, no. It's just a cold bowl of sweet cream of wheat. And yes, he loves and has stated personally, he loves right to work. He said that when he was governor of Virginia. And yes, he has sat idly by while thousands of people in his own state were poisoned by the coal industry. And hey, He's only, when he was governor of Virginia, he only executed less than a tenth of the number of people George W. Bush did. Progress! Oh, I saw the thing Saturday in Miami where he said, bienvenidos a todos. And I saw where Hillary said, he's a progressive who wants to get things done. Well, apparently one of the things that progressive wanted to get done was to make sure people couldn't, you know, have a living wage in a union household in Virginia. Another one of the things that he progressively wanted to get done was to only execute less than a tenth of the number of people George Bush executed. You get the idea, right? But they acknowledge climate change is real. They don't want to take anybody's health care away from them. My vote doesn't count. And what it really comes down to is whether a bunch of purists in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Iowa, Florida, want to fuck the rest of the country. Sorry about the strength of the strong words, but it is what it is. Yeah, I was going to take a break, but let's run over and talk to Labor Man for a minute. What do you say, Gary? Oop, wrong button. Sorry. Hey, Gary.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm trying to keep it together.
Yeah, me too, but things don't look like they're going to go too well, unfortunately.
Let's be fair. I'm not going to sit and say, and I'm not going to pretend that it's anybody but you know, her fault.
Yeah, it's.
If she wins, she will win in spite of herself. If she loses, she will win. She will lose. Well, as a result of herself. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I called in Friday, and you know, I could barely make out what the other folks were saying on the. Front porch deal, and you're a little bit garbly right now. But what I did want to do is, you know, I haven't seen the Nate Silver stuff, but as I started looking at the map, as it stands, red stays red. Trump only has to win Florida, Ohio, and PA, and he's president. That's it, three states.
That sure does make campaigning easy, doesn't it?
Florida and Ohio are, I think, you know, they're gonna swing those. The margin of victory in Florida for Obama was 0.9%. Ohio was 1.9. PA was a little bigger, 5.2. But that was with Obama running. The next lowest total state is Virginia at +3, but that's 13 votes. You know, you like to think, well, with Kane on the ticket, you know, that sort of gets, you know, a little bit further out of reach, you would think. but I've written across, Nevada's not going to be in play, and New Mexico's not going to be in play.
Yeah, well, hold on, Gary. According to Nate Silver, right now Nevada is pink.
No way. They have too many of them brown people, you know, who are, you know, rapists and drug dealers, you know, voting. So that ain't gonna happen. Nevada and New Mexico ain't gonna happen. New Mexico was over 10 points, by the way, and Nevada was 6.6. So I think that's a relatively safe scratch. So if Hillary were to win Pennsylvania, then there's a limited number of states for Trump to come up with the 17 electoral votes he will need, in addition to Florida and Ohio, to get to 271, I believe, and a combination of Wisconsin, Colorado, Iowa, and New Hampshire are pretty much the only ones in the game. And, you know, he would have to either win both Wisconsin and Colorado. If he only won one of those, then he would have to win an additional two states to get to the number he needs. He would have to win either or Wisconsin, Colorado, and Iowa, and New Hampshire. So it's doable. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think it's more than doable. I think it begins to approach likely, doesn't it?
No, because I think you have to look at the numbers that have to be overcome in terms of both turnout last time around and the margin of victory last time around. You know, the higher you go up on a number, the less likely they'll flip a state. You know, that's just math, okay?
Yeah.
And but there's one sleeper state that I think is going to become the most important in the whole election, and that's North Carolina. Okay, Obama, you know, of course, he won North Carolina in 08. He lost North Carolina in 12, but the margin was only 2.2. And that's big because that's 15 electoral votes. If they run the right type of campaign down there, I think they could flip that, and that would really be a crusher. Because then you could have Florida, Ohio, PA go Trump. Okay, but if they were to sneak in North Carolina, that would be a backbreaker. You know what I mean? Because then he'd have to win three out of the four remaining kind of toss-up states. And that's, you know, I'm assuming, I'm sort of scratching Virginia, even though it was only 3 points simply because of King.
And, yeah, I think you can give. Well, I hope you can give Virginia to Hillary on Kane's account. That was one of the motivators behind choosing him. His Jesuit background in Honduras, working with the poor, civil rights lawyer, equal housing lawyer. These are all calculated decisions.
But I looked at. You know, I watched Bernie speak and heard the boos, you know, as soon as he said Hillary, and I'm going, holy fuck. You know what I mean? If these guys can't at least be respectful to Bernie, you know, it's going to be bedlam. I predict there's going to be a number of fistfights when Hillary's on the stage. You know, you're going to get some real Bernie bros say some pretty nasty stuff, and you know, you got to realize these are, you know, it's not like, you know, all the Bernie bros are in one end and Hillary's on the other. You know, these are, you know, it's a mix for each state, you know, of Democratic delegates, you know. And you might see some fisticuffs, you know, and some real.
I'm sure CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox, et cetera, are all just practically masturbating in hope that will happen. All hell was supposed to break loose in Cleveland, and it turned out to be a great big giant yawn.
You know, and you know, there's a big difference between Cruz being booed, okay, in the RNC, and Hillary getting booed. You know, or practically booed, and that's where shit's going to go down. You know, there's going to be people who are going to be fed up with the Bernie bro next to them and cold cock them. Years ago, Mike told me, you know, because I told him about the my pending doom and gloom about the convention and all. And he told me, he says, years ago that the New Mexico happened to end up being in the limelight because the New Mexico delegation got into a brawl on the floor during the roll call. Several folks within the state had some differences and you know, ended up you know, swinging and wrestling and rolling around and sort of a big, fiasco, you know, back then. This is a long time ago. You know, this guy's 88 years old, you know. So it's probably back in maybe the 50s or early 60s, something like that. But, with what I see, this morning, and I tried to watch a little bit of it, but it seemed like the yapping mouths all wanted to yap and not let you listen to somebody speaking. You know, all they would do is yap about what somebody's saying and you hear them boos? I hear boos. You know what I mean? They're just...
Well, and the for-profit media, don't forget, will amplify that, Gary. It's kind of, remember the Dean scream? The Dean scream could barely be heard at the far end of the room, but by the time the for-profit media got done with it, Howard Dean was a raving maniac.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, and I don't know, I had a question in my mind, and, when I came up, pulled that, the negative bump out of my ass, you know what I mean? I'll admit that. And if anybody had ever got a negative bump, I remember something back when they said, well, didn't get a bump, no bump, kind of thing. But
Nate Silver says the era of bumps is largely over and bounces is over because the people who will determine the election, those rare creatures, the undecideds, it's such a small number, there's no way to get a bounce out of it.
Yeah, well, I'm predicting negative bump. It's gonna turn for the worse. With all our, America is great and we're gonna make it greater theme, I guess is essentially what they want to portray. But, when you have your nominee get up on stage to accept the speech and she can barely talk over the constant booing, that's just not a fucking good visual, period.
No, it's not.
That is not going to be a good visual whatsoever. And throwing a few fist fights, it'll be worse than 1968,
Well, absent the cop riot.
And it's going to hurt, it's going to hurt. So we'll see what happens. But, hope for the best. But, I don't have much faith.
Gary? Yep. Well, darn. Apparently, I lost Gary. Shoot. Now, explain that. How do you lose? There we go. How do you lose a Bluetooth connection? Just and the phone's never moved or go figure. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Liverman. Thank you very kindly. Thanks for the challenge. I should note that challenge has been met, courtesy of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society and Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society CEO, Harold. Gary's challenge has been met. That leaves $120 of challenges on the table. 100 courtesy of Chris in Germany, and the $20 subscription challenge, courtesy of Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee. David in South Carolina asks, "What the does nobody remember Nixon and his rat fuckers who purposely started many riots to make Dems look bad? All we need now is for Philly cops to start beating up protesters. Then, just as in Nixon 68, Trump will win on law and order." Yeah. He continues and says, bunches of people who claim to be Democrats are helping Trump as well. Liberal Democrats who must think that Trump and Republicans are going to appoint liberal judges, pass civil rights legislation, increase social programs, etc. Right? I've never seen so many idiots in my life, says David. James, meanwhile, says, first order of business, get rid of the filibuster. Or filibuster. Get rid of the filibuster. And that's, you know, with Trump in the White House and Republicans in control of the Senate and Republicans in control of the House. What a country! And Tim from L.A. says, regarding the emails, who cares about the Russians or Julian Assange or even RT exposing the emails? But the fact that the messages were written in the first place. If the DNC weren't so goddamned elitist, then none of this would have happened. Never mind elitist, Tim, if they weren't so stupid. Who puts that kind of crap in an email? It's dumb. It's idiotic. I mean, it's inept. I'm left with no other conclusion to reach but that most of the people who staff the Democratic National Committee spend most of their time responding to emails telling them about the millions they can get by helping the Nigerian widow move her cancerously dead husband's fortune to America. Jesus! Not yelling at you, Tim. Let's go over and... Thomas, come on out on the ledge.
Hey, Bob. I'm on the ledge with you.
You need a light?
I am. I need relief is what I need. I am angry. I'm beyond angry.
Who you mad at?
I'm mad at everyone. I'm mad at the Bernie supporters who can't control themselves. I'm mad at Hillary Clinton and her campaign. I'm mad at Debbie Wasserman's Joel. I'm just equally angry at everyone.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I see Hillary or Bernie supporters that I thought I respected sharing InfoWars lock her up signs because they're giddy over that in Philly, which drives, as a former Republican conservative who ran away from that, it inflames me to no end to see Bernie Sanders supporters who tell me how much they want love and they want peace and they want tolerability for everybody and they want fairness.
Lock her up!
Exactly. That is not that. I wanted the Justice Department to have a fair hearing just as much as the next Bernie supporter and Republican for that matter. But what I don't want is the Salem Dam witch trials going.
Well, you know, the other thing is all those lawyers who went to the Wikipedia School of Law don't help, Thomas.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say this, and maybe, goddamn Kincaid, listen. What Julian Assange knows, because, you know, Julian Assange loves him some publicity. And so he puts out this tweet or whatever over the weekend. Oh, my next batch of WikiLeaks releases will put Hillary in prison. Ah, listen, dipshit. One, you don't know shit about the federal or any state's criminal code. Two, whoever you're listening to probably doesn't either. Three, there is such a thing in this country as due process. And while there are people out there, oh, lock her up! Blah, blah, blah. Well, the fact of the matter is we don't fucking do that.
Thank you.
Because if we lock her up, blah, 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 if we did that, Thomas, she would, and I'm looking for a word, oh, make bail.
Right?
And then, assuming it's a federal crime, lock her up! Oh, God damn it. Well, the case would then have to be presented to a grand jury. And the grand jury would do what grand juries do or don't do.
Well, lock her up!
In other words, ain't gonna happen.
And not for nothing. What charge? What charge?
Oh, she is clearly guilty of violating U.S. Code Article 99A, being Hillary.
Well, no. She killed Vince Foster. I still want to get her on.
Oh, that's our no. That's the violation of U.S. Code Article 99B, Hillary killing Vince Foster, which is supported by Dan Burton shooting watermelons.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's look. She's an elitist. She's an oligarch. I agree with 99% of what.
I mean, how many times do I have to say I wouldn't go across the street to go across the street to shake her hand?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I gave her $5 in 2008. I want my money back. It'll never happen. I regret that. I regret trying to push people to vote for Hillary on my show forcefully, because that's not how you get people to, you do not make that argument. But when you do not tell people how to vote, but
Thomas, go ahead, just to make you feel better, because it will. Go ahead and do the whole blah, 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 lock her up. Do it once.
Lock her up.
Yeah. See, it's got a kind of a cleansing thing to it, doesn't it?
No, it does. I feel like I'm getting ghostbusted by one of those female ghostbusters that I'm not supposed to like, but I kind of do.
Oh, it's a confusing world you live in, isn't it, Thomas?
I know, and the new JJ Trek, I like that too, and I'm not supposed to. What am I doing?
Yeah, that thing got some decent reviews, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
I was totally prepared for it to completely suck.
Me too. Like,
although whatever the next script that has the gay Sulu in it, apparently George Takei is not at all happy about that.
Yeah, we've had that discussion on our show. Yes, but that being said, we had a coming to Jesus moment literally about this, and I think you'll back me up on this. If it were not for Osiris, who got plagiarized by Jesus followers, we wouldn't have JJ plagiarizing Star Trek and all this reimaging going on. So I blame Jesus.
I blame Osiris, or at least whichever parts of him we can find.
Well, didn't he rise up? Whichever one rose up, I don't give a...
Well, they both did. I mean, you know.
Well, exactly. I'm sure we'll find them somewhere with the Dead Sea Scrolls. But the,
and the Lindbergh baby and the gun that Hillary used to kill Vince Foster.
And her prison uniform. Don't forget that.
Lock her up!
Hey, we did that together. You owe me a Coke, man. And not the kind Trump snorts.
Oh, no. We'll have them delivered out here on the ledge. We can spit ice cubes.
Look, I'm in the same position you are. I have Medicaid expansion because one tough douche actually signed that into law. A Republican, right?
John Kasich is an old school Republican, and there's never been an old school Republican who went, what, free money?
Well, mine wasn't Kasich. That's Nikki's. But
I'm sorry. Yeah, you've got
one tough douche.
Prick Snyder.
Yes, I call him one tough douche because his Twitter handle is one tough nerd, so I call him one tough douche.
Yeah,
because it works. Clearly. Although I do like that he doesn't, like Donald Trump, he doesn't read from a teleprompter because smart.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I got a note from Arthur in the chat room saying the main complaint at the convention I see is that TPP wasn't excluded from the party platform. I don't mind that. I do mind the folks who hate Hillary and just won't accept defeat. Defeat for Bernie as nominee. He's committed to keep on struggling. That's the part that just beats the pants off of me. That they can't recognize that good things happened. No, we have to have everything, and we have to have it all at once.
Well,
we don't want a cookie. We want the whole bag.
But
never mind the fact that we didn't have any cookies at all before.
Bob, can I play devil's advocate to that for a minute, though?
You're cute in horns.
um, Here's the problem, though. There are Bernie supporters who have been told, I'm included, and I know you are included too, from the very beginning that he can't win, that he can't win, that he won't win, that there's no hope. Why the fuck are you even doing this, you fucking moron?
Socialist.
This is the Democratic Party, and he isn't even a real Democrat.
Bernie's not a real Democrat.
Yeah. So I understand the anger that delegates are coming from. However, that said, the Hilarians are not fucking helping themselves when in the same breath they're having a fucking Russia email temper tantrum. I'd still say it was the lizard people. But as they're having that temper tantrum, they are, you know, blaming us before the election even happens. You know, they will not fucking take responsibility. And last I looked, that's what Republicans do. Democrats, and I know this because you do it, and I know real Democrats do this, Tom Hartman doesn't, they say, okay, I was wrong, I'm taking fucking responsibility, I'm going to clean up my mess. And then we move on, and we fix it. Republicans are the ones who blame other people, do not take responsibility, and then say, well, it shouldn't have been in the first place, but have you started, turned it off and turned it on again? You know?
Yeah.
That's Republicans. Why are we fucking acting like them? You know? You're the one that I love to go to because you're a Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat. You, I almost said Republican. Sorry, Bob.
I'd have reached right through this damn microphone all the way down the interweb tubes.
Rare. That said, don't turn me on. You made me lose my thought. You are the guy that I go to because I know that you've always been a Democrat. And when I'm having these crises of consciousness as someone who wants to see a win here, irregardless, because I know what will happen with Donald Trump, or should I say Mike Pence, as president.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Donald Trump, can we stop talking as if he's going to be the president? He's going to be goddamn horse face Queen Elizabeth on the fucking Make America Great Again wall, telling us how great we are now that he's president. Well, Mike Putz is fucking us through the shitter. Can we be honest for a moment about that?
Yeah, but you know, ideological purity.
Fuck that.
I mean, we're gonna get every day that Donald Trump's president, we're gonna get up, we're gonna go to the shower if we've got any clean water to wash with, and we're gonna get out our ideological purity soap. It's 99.99% pure, you know. And we're gonna lather up real good, and we're gonna feel real pure, okay? And we're gonna be ideologically pure when, you know, the stormtroopers come. Right?
And Jules, and we'll have that fun old gay old time. Don't drop the soap. oh my God. I'm so angry, Bob. And
well, I don't use it all up in one place, okay?
Yeah, I know. I have a show to do.
Well, I mean, you got to say it's like those old candies, now and later. You know, eat some now, save some for later, because you know once we get President Trump, it's going to be you're gonna need it, okay? Yeah, now, to be fair, and this is where I refuse to be selfish, it's going to be great for anybody in a position like you, me, Malloy, Rick Smith, anybody. It's going to be great because you'll never have to put a show together. It will just write itself.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
But meanwhile, you'll also have to cover the stories about, you know, people, you know, well, not, and that's the thing. For-profit media won't make a big deal out of that. I mean, the fact that, you know, we'll go back up to all those statistical excess deaths that we had before the passage of the Affordable Care Act, they won't cover it. So, you know, the ideologically pure, their consciences won't have to bother them.
Well, yeah. Yeah, indeed. You know, it's.
And again, I don't know how many times I have to say it. I was just accused in the chat room of getting, of being, see, what was the question there? Are Malloy, Ben Dixon, and Tim Black the only lib talkers refusing to jump on the Clinton train? Yeah, because I'm on the Clinton train. I sit here night after night after night talking about what a rotten, lousy candidate she is, how terrible her policies are. Oh, but I'm on the fucking Clinton train.
Well, see, that's the other thing, too. I am so tired of, because if you're willing to explain the actual reality of the situation to your audience, all of a sudden it becomes, and I'm not, your audience is smart, my audience is smart, we both have awesome audiences, we have terrific audiences. That said,
That's why I don't refer to what we've got here as an audience. This is a family, a community, a congregation.
I do, too. No, I do, too. And you know me long enough to know that I do the same thing. But I would like to think they would know us better. You more so. I've only been doing this for 2 years now. But you more so. That we understand the reality of the situation. If we weren't telling the truth, at least our truth, what would be the point of us getting on air?
Right.
What would be the point of us fucking doing this for 3 hours every day? Why would we should close up shop, let Donald Trump run things, or Hillary Clinton be done with it? Because, you know, oligarchy, you got Rachel Maddow, you got all in with Chris Hayes, you know, to go there. You don't need us if you don't want us to tell us the truth. You want us to hold your hand and glad hand you the whole time? Give you a little ego massage because it feels nice? Or do you want us to tell you what we believe to be true in the moment of what's going on? Because as a former Republican, as someone who was a self-hating bisexual man, what Bob is saying is absolutely fucking correct.
Oh, hey, there's another cool thing. See, being straight, I don't think about these things all the time, so that makes me, you know, a privileged, selfish, white, straight guy. Guess what else maybe a Trump president and a nice right-wing Supreme Court and a right-wing House and a right-wing Senate can do, and a majority of states that are controlled by right-wing governments? Why, they can pass a constitutional amendment declaring that that marriage is something between a man and a woman. They could do that. And you know what? It'll stick. Because you can change the Constitution. You can make the Constitution say anything you want to. Hell, once upon a time, this country made the Constitution say that nobody could drink a goddamn beer. And it stuck until the country got sick of it.
Well, yeah. And that's exactly it. But hey, let's just say how horrible Hillary is, which is easy to do. Let's just say how much of an oligarchy she is and how much of a rapist Bill Clinton is, even though that's completely unfounded. Because, you know, let's go to InfoWars for all our news. And where they sell the Clinton rape shirts, by the way. Only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. This is why I'm angry, because we cannot seem to even get to a level of discourse without upsetting somebody. And I'm not going to say the politically correct thing, because Bob, you know me, I'm far from that. You know,
yeah.
I would think, you know, I don't worry about that. And if I it's really hurt someone's feelings, I'll apologize on air if they tweet me or say so in the chat room. But beyond that, you know, I the care, and when you want to leak my emails, have at it, you know. We still need to have that talk, by the way, Bob.
No. You know, and I mean, I'm sitting here at the same time, carrying on a conversation. In the chat room, I've just been told that Hillary will take away my health care, too, by allowing it to be nickeled and dimed by the Republican Congress. Well, that's a far cry from outright repeal. And that remains to be seen. That's grounded and predicated on the idea that she is so feckless that she'll just, you know, screw people a little bit at a time for the sheer joy of it. Now, the question is, if that is true, then why did she go to the time and trouble that she did? Because she was pretty noisy in support of the expansion of the CHIPS program. Why bother? Because I guess the Republicans can just nickel and dime that to death, too.
And not for nothing, Trump or Hillary, the Republicans are going to nickel and dime anything to death anyway because they're fucking austerity-based.
I mean, I make no bones about the fact that this discussion would not be taking place if we had been anything remotely resembling sane in the Democratic Party and, you know, nominated Bernie. He would mop the damn floor with Trump. I mean, I don't think it would be 1972 landslide proportions, but it would be pretty good.
No,
and a lot of that would have to do with the fact that he does not have and has not had the baggage that Hillary has. And I mean, you know, when we say Hillary has baggage, it's not like the purse and one computer backpack that you're allowed to carry on a plane. No. Hillary's baggage is like the 19 goddamn steamer trunks that a Vanderbilt heiress would take with her on the Titanic. That kind of baggage.
With the car.
There's no end to it. Some of it's real, some of it's not. The real stuff bothers me. It bothers me greatly. But the fake stuff, I at least have the brains to see is fake. And oddly enough, the fake stuff is what most people have fallen for. Oh, she killed Vince Foster. Oh, she and Bill Clinton decorated their Christmas tree with used condoms. They believe that shit. Especially the Bubbas in the South. And the only people who unreservedly think that shits ice cream and farts sprinkles are the Democrats in the Deep South.
The problem, Bob, that I see as a newly formed Democrat and Democratic Socialist is that we have not been allowed, and I made this argument on my show, we have not been allowed to have out a real discussion on where this country is.
Well, and this country's never going to have that discussion because half the people in this country says, well, you know, it could be a pretty good country if it wasn't for all them Mexicans and Negroes.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, but the other part of it
so is... That means we can any discussion like what you're describing, Thomas, can only be had among half or less than half of the population of this country.
Well, yeah, but if we, like...
Which means it's not really a discussion among this country.
But isn't that an election?
Well,
because when people actually vote and when people actually bother to, you know, check the box...
I mean, look, progress was made. There's a plan in place now to get rid of two-thirds of the power of the superdelegates. Now, I realized that the purists wanted all of the superdelegates gone. I did, too. But I'll take getting rid of some of them over getting rid of none of them.
And can I remind
you something? Because everything doesn't happen all at once. It can't in an empire of this size. And that brings me back to the other thing that just probably bores the hell out of people. But what kind of fantasy world do you live in if you think that this empire is going to be turned over to somebody who wants to make it a sane, social, democratic country? Empires don't run that way. Empires have to have iron fists and iron boots. And if you're lucky, the empire will put a velvet glove on the iron fist. I mean, we're electing an imperial administrator. You can call the office president all you want to. George Washington favored chief magistrate, and when he was greeted in person, he preferred to be called Your Majesty or Your Excellency. You know, can we please stop pretending that there was some sort of golden age of American politics when this country was something besides a naked grab for power and wealth by the people who were powerful and wealthy?
But herein lies the ultimate problem with this. We have to get to a point, at least as far as Democrats go and progressives go, where we realize that once we all recognize there's a problem, or at least the vast majority of us do, we are willing to fight the larger problem. And that's what I think is the part that's angering me so much and angering you so much, Bob. We seem to be able to accept in a warped way, and tell me if I'm wrong, we seem to be able to accept in a warped way a Trump presidency before we're willing to accept a Hillary presidency?
Some apparently are.
And all I have to ask, and I saw that woman on MSNBC. And I say it in that manner and in that way because some of it, I understood what she was saying. She made some great points about the superdelegates. And then with the Trump thing, blew my mind. Because what she failed to recognize, and this goes to her education, sorry, not here to defend herself, but she decided to become a public figure. What she failed to recognize was that Mike Pence is involved. So they would be getting dictates from the Trump administration, which was ran by Mike Pence. And that is the guy who likes to get things done. And you only have to, you know, go down to Jules' home state of Indiana to look at how well the Republican legislature and the Republican governor have run Indiana. And I hope people realize I'm using well sarcastically. Because we have not come to a conclusion that that is bad. That is very, very bad. Instead, we're still squabbling. And this is Hillary Clinton's fault. The Hillary Clinton's campaign's fault. And the DNC's fault. This has no fault of Bernie Sanders or Bernie Sanders supporters to a point. Hillary Clinton and her campaign from the entire time has been saying you need to get behind us and not allowing a fair fight. And because of that mentality, we're not able at this point, as the convention rolls into day one, to envision a Hillary Clinton presidency. And therein lies the struggle. And therein lies where we're fucking screwed. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. And let me take this moment for a little jaunt backwards in history to the late, great Will Rogers, who was known for his homespun political humor. Kind of like, oh, what's his name? Texas, come on. Former commissioner of agriculture down there. Why can't I remember his name? But anyway, Will Rogers, way back when, before he died in a plane crash, Will Rogers said, and it's quite famous, "I do not belong to an organized political party. I am a Democrat." Okay?
Yes. Agreed.
That was a long time ago. Jim Hightower, by the way. And that's because the Democratic Party has a whole bunch of different constituencies in it. And Jesus, he said that before the Democratic Party added even more constituencies. You know, the Republican Party, for all they talk about, you know, be their big tent, yeah, there's no black Republican constituency. There's the log cabin Republicans. Shit, they can meet in a log closet. Okay? There's no LGBT constituency inside the Republican Party. There's no indigenous constituency inside the Republican Party. The women's constituency inside the Republican Party is called the Sit Down and Shut Up Caucus. It is harder to be us. It's easy to be them. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. And therein lies the problem of the Hillary Clinton campaign from the beginning, because what they've been telling us to do as progressives is sit down and fucking shut up. And I'm sorry. She's made this bed. And she, in my opinion, and I'll let you go because I feel like I've monopolized.
You're not.
Okay. In my opinion, what she needs to do on Thursday night is apologize. Start with an apology. Because it took 3 days for the DNC to apologize in a statement to Bernie Sanders supporters over what happened. If you do not like what you write to be leaked, don't write it in the first place, as you said. So what Hillary Clinton, for certain people, especially me, who is still on, will decide in the 11th hour, what she needs to do is say, "I'm sorry. I am sorry that our campaign, I know this won't happen, but I am sorry that our campaign, I am sorry that the DNC, I am sorry that Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I am sorry that we have made you feel like an outsider in your own party." That's what she needs to open with. And I know she won't, because she doesn't want our vote. And that's why a lot of people will not vote for her, because she's being equally, in my opinion, she is being equally fucking selfish as the person who is, and this is her conscience, I'm not, you know, but as the person who says, "Trump's okay." I have more problem with that person than I do a person who will say, "Never Hillary, I'm voting for Jill Stein." Because Trump's far from fucking okay. That's a vote for Mike Pence. And anybody who doesn't think so is a moron. Am I anywhere wrong on that?
No. No, you're not. Not at all. So, I don't know. Let's keep things rolling, Thomas, and see what other people are thinking, shall we?
Sure.
All right.
Great.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And I'm not sure what's going on at the convention. Haven't really looked. I presume we won't hear from Bernie until so-called prime time, which would, I imagine, I don't know. Let's check in with Carol Baker. Come on out on the ledge, Carol.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Don't worry, I'm already lit up.
Are you? Good.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little windy up here.
I can see, my dog's barking at me from the ground.
Really?
Apparently.
What's got Tess worked up? Yeah, she sounds a little far away.
Well, she's in the living room, but I don't know what her problem is. She acts, there's probably somebody out on the, in a boat on the lake. That's her, somebody's on my lake bark.
Oh, okay.
She'll quit. She'll quit. Hang on.
She's not bothering me. It's pretty distant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. I just muted and yelled at her. She quit. So, yeah, this was a very interesting weekend.
And?
Well, just, you know, as far as the events of the leaks and everyone else, you know, I have a new mantra. I'm with meh.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like whatever I do, one, is going to matter in West Virginia.
Right. I'm in a blood red state, right? I could vote for anybody I want to, and it doesn't matter because Trump's getting every last electoral vote out of Missouri. But I have people on social media have decided that voting for her just isn't enough. Even, you know, I have relented. I'm so afraid of a return to fascism that I'm going to do it just to do it, to vote for her. But that's not good enough because I have to call every attack on Clinton, especially the factual ones, rumors and lies. You have to be a throne sniffer.
Yeah, right.
I'm the reason we can't have nice things. So I'm supposed to be apologetic because I won't go quietly. And I think that's a far cry from me howling, lock her up, lock her up.
Yeah, you do that very well.
But, well, you know.
And I'm sorry, that probably doesn't come across as a compliment, but.
But it just.
But see, you can't be reasonable.
No, you can't be reasonable. See, if Republicans did this, it's okay to criticize them. But because Democrats did it, I'm not allowed to jam both sides and say, I object to this behavior from everyone. Well, Carol, you're part of the problem. Really?
I know. I can't tell you the hilarions who have taken me to task for saying, you know, listen, she's a terrible candidate, but I'm going to vote for her.
She is a terrible candidate. She's a horrible candidate.
And I don't know how we do this, Carol, but work with me here. Maybe out here on the ledge, you can sort it out with me. I keep trying to figure out how we got here.
Oh, we're going to need a bigger ledge.
I'm at a loss. How does someone have all the negatives she has and have so many people wandering around saying, well, she's the most qualified person ever to run for office? Goddamn, I saw a quote from Barack Obama saying that the other day.
I heard that, too.
Where does that come from?
Desperation.
Well, no, I mean, it's clearly part of a PR campaign. But, you know, if you're 110 pound, you know, bantamweight, and all your followers say that, you know, you're the most qualified heavyweight boxer ever to enter the ring, and you go in and you get your little glass jaw shattered into a million pieces, like she did in 2008. How does that myth persist? You know, I wonder if the only reason that Barack Obama gave her Secretary of State was to keep her from primarying his ass in 2012.
I've always thought that.
Yeah, you know, he was neutralizing her.
You know, this is the kind of response I get. The DNC is not impartial. They're there to put forth the best Democratic candidate. They were fair.
Well, that's a goddamn lie.
Well, right. They were fair but not impartial. Hillary Clinton was always the favorite candidate. And if the scapegoat is Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and so be it. She steps aside, is offered another position to remain in the process, and all is right with the world. My hope is that the further review of these emails shows the amount of vitriol and attacks are coming from the Sanders campaign. Are they fucking kidding me?
You've got all those people out there working for their little Brock bucks, and you know you there's not. I did not meet the news that they are complaining about Putin's army of internet trolls at least a little soupçon of Schadenfreude, because that's what she's been using for the past 7 months. A little army of arguably illegally coordinated campaign trolls under the direction of David Brock. So, I guess it hurts when the shoe is on the other foot.
Well, I am just classified as the Bernie bot out of hand because I dared to criticize it. And it's a lie. They did not put forth the best Democratic candidate.
No. And that kind of goes to the heart of what I was asking a few minutes ago, Carol. This idea, where did this idea come from? I mean, is it because of access to power?
No,
is it because of the machine that the Clintons built?
A lot of it. Because Matt Taibbi wrote this incredible piece in Rolling Stone back in January, talking about how the youth voters perfectly understand Hillary Clinton and how this whole idea of when McGovern lost so spectacularly meant that we had to do the incremental progress and the political reality of getting what we could get instead of getting what was right. And to me, when did we just throw our hands in the air and say, okay, the Republicans won? Because to me, that's what that is. They win. They get to roll back every bit of progress that we've made in the last 40 years. They just get to chip away at it piece by piece. Because for every one step forward we take, there are three steps that are taken back. Okay, gay people can get married in this country. That's fine. But black people can't vote.
Yeah.
So where did we win? Where did we gain anything? It was an easy give, because as rich white people realize that they're becoming more and more the minority in this country, they're rigging the game more and more to make sure that they can maintain power when they're completely the minority. And the only bright spot I had this whole weekend was this beautiful letter that a lifetime Texas Republican wrote to resign from the party.
Yeah, wasn't that gorgeous?
And for anybody, there was one paragraph in there that absolutely kind of knocked me out. And I will not contribute my name, my work, or my character to an utterly indefensible cause. No sensible adult demands moral meaningless without constraints. A party willing to lend its collective capital to Donald Trump has entered a compromise beyond any credible threshold of legitimacy. There is no redemption in being one of the, quote, good Nazis.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Now, to be fair, though, I mean, while we rejoice in that a little bit, oh, God, where is that? Maybe it's in Revelations where it says, blessed in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of his saints.
Mm-hmm.
I can well imagine what kind of Republican that guy was.
He was a 30-year-long Republican, Rick Perry-loving, I mean...
Yeah. It's not like he was a great guy.
It's not like he was a great guy, but that was an incremental step towards sanity.
Well, it was, and you know, if we can use the Christian metaphor, you know, you're happier to see a sinner come to the altar than a saint.
Absolutely.
But I don't think he's going to be hollering for universal single payer health care anytime soon, Carol.
But you and I both realize that both Clintons, in addition to the Wall Street worshipping, are odious for their supreme arrogance and their sense of privilege, and they also still think it's 1992. They don't understand the 2016 electorate, because it's changed.
And there's two different kinds of approaches to that verb we can take. It has changed. It has also been changed.
Yes.
You know, a little bit ago, David in South Carolina mentioned Richard Nixon's team of rat fuckers. That, you know, that's a legitimate political term that they invented, rat fucking.
Absolutely.
It came from, I think, Jeb Magruder's days in student government at the University of Southern California, if I recall correctly, and I probably don't. But that's been going on to a large extent, and was ramped up beginning with Reagan. You know, look at the dirty tricks that Nixon played vis-a-vis the Paris peace talks in Vietnam. And then look at the dirty tricks that the Reagan camp played vis-a-vis the Iranian hostage crisis.
Yes.
So there's that. We could sit out here on the ledge, Carol, for another 4 hours, just working through the history of this. There's the effort that was begun in the wake of the gut stomping that Barry Goldwater took, and the direct mail, and the militarization of both the NRA and the Southern Baptist Convention, which turned into the Christian Coalition. All right.
Yes.
And then, by the time you get Bill Clinton in office, and by the way, I got a note from James, subject line, Carol. Carol just wants to be where the boys are. You remember that?
It's all true. It's all true.
You know, the girls are only following Hillary because that's where the boys are. Yeah, it says right. Gloria Steinem, for mm-hmm. Christ's sakes. But anyway, along comes Bill Clinton, and because George H.W. Bush did not lose, you know, it's not Bill Clinton did not win in 1992 by a majority. He won because of Ross Perot, okay? George W. Bush did not win because of Ralph Nader, but it is numerically, politically, mathematically, statistically impossible to say that Bill Clinton that Ross Perot didn't have an impact in 1992.
Of course he did.
And after 8 years of Reagan and 4 years of HW, the Republican Party was absolutely convinced that they were going to own the White House forevermore. Amen.
Yes.
And you've got, and I don't know, maybe people have forgotten about Richard Mellon Scaife. Okay. Maybe they've forgotten that, but the fact of the matter is, there for 8 years the Republicans threw anything that they could get their hands on at the wall. Yeah. And some of it, and whatever would stick, they would go with.
That's right.
And then, along the way, when they realized that, nothing would stick to Bill, God damn. I mean, they busted him for a blowjob, and he spooged all over Monica's dress, and they had the goddamn dress. And America still wouldn't hate Bill Clinton, and his approval ratings kept going up and up and up. They did the natural thing for a party largely comprised of misogynists. They went after his wife.
Of course.
And along the way, Hillary obliged them by providing them with plenty of stuff to go after her for.
Of course.
I mean, what is going through your head, Carol? Not your head, Carol, but I mean, you got a better chance than I do. You've got the matching chromosome. Wow, that wasn't sexist. What the fuck? What made her do that stupid, crazy bullshit with all that lying about landing under sniper fire in Bosnia? Where the hell did that come from? And then, and then there's the lawyer business, where she defends a guy who raped a 12-year-old, proceeds to destroy the 12-year-old rape victim, a girl. Hillary's for women. Mm-hmm. And then brags about how she knew that her client was guilty as homemade sin. Now, see, that last part's kind of important, Carol, because, see, even if a lawyer suspects her client is guilty, a lawyer can still engage in a zealous advocacy.
Sure.
Because that's how the gig works. That's how people are. I mean, you are entitled to a zealous defense. The only way you can't is if the client looks at the lawyer and says, yeah, I fucked her real good. Then the lawyer cannot go in and say, Your Honor, my client is innocent as the driven snow. Because that at that point in time, the lawyer is actually perpetrating a fraud upon the court and suborning perjury when the guy gets up and oh, hell no, I didn't do it. Oh, thank you to Jim. Jim points out, no, it was not Magruder. It was Donald Segretti.
Segretti.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, because I can't keep my scumbags, my Nixonian scumbags straight.
There were so many.
So there's that. And then there's the White House travel office. And on the one hand, you've got the Republicans who are grasping at anything. I mean, it's not a joke. Dan Burton of Indiana, hey, there's Indiana again, went out and shot watermelons in his backyard to prove that Hillary Clinton killed Vince Foster.
Yeah.
That really happened.
I know. I remember the video.
And so, you know, ever so much of this is manufactured bullshit that I guess a certain contingent of the butthurt Bernie coalition now wants to be true. And here's another thing. The email business arose out of Benghazi! And it's bullshit, too.
Yes, it is bullshit. And that's why I've never talked about it. I've never, you know, I never wanted to lend credence to any of it. And as a woman who was at one time married to a man with a dirty dick, as we like to say, I felt for her. I felt really bad for her during the whole Bill Monica thing. On the other hand, getting a blowjob isn't the worst thing that a president has ever done. Lying about a blowjob is just male.
Well, yeah, and see, I happen to remember that time, and the reason Bill's numbers kept going up, Carol, you know, because I'll take the chromosome baton this time through, is a whole lot of American men looking up and going, "Well, hell, I would too."
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
I mean, you know, if you promised American men, especially American evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, God-loving men, free blowjobs, shit, they'll choose that over free money.
Sure they will.
And so, I mean, I don't know what, I mean, I remember Hillary getting hell for staying married to Bill after that.
Yes, and she's still getting held for staying married to Bill after that.
And I guess you can make the argument, and I'm sure some have, that she stayed married to Bill because it was integral to her designs on the White House. Because yes. As far as we know, that much is true, that, you know, going way, way, way back, that they sat down and looked at each other, I don't know if it was pillow talk or whatever, and said, all right, honey, I'm going to be president first, but then you can be president because you're smarter than me.
I would doubt that it was pillow talk, but yeah, I believe that conversation took place.
And so, you know, her being president, I mean, I don't think, short of somebody praying for a loved one to be healed from some sort of devastating cancer or something, I don't think most of us can understand the depth of yearning that attaches to Hillary Clinton's desire to be the first female president.
Yeah, it's this lust for power that they have. You know, and Chelsea, who I spent a lifetime defending, you know, graduated from college and got a $900,000 a year job with the Clinton Foundation and $600,000 a year for being a commentator for NBC News. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm older than she is, I'm actually better educated than she is, and they never called me.
Right. And so, you know, all of that comes together in this shitstorm of right-wing hatred that she has faced for 25 years. And I won't take that away from her. By God, she's been blown around by that wind, and she has bent but not broken. I'll give her that.
Absolutely. I will give her that, too. And I'm the first one that all somebody ever has to do is mention pantsuits or cankles. And
you're on them like... Yeah,
like a hobo on a ham sandwich.
Well, and so that's there, and you know what? I would not want to be in the direct path or trajectory of her wrath.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
I got a feeling when that woman gets her angry on. And I can only imagine what has been privately said to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I guarantee you it has not been pretty.
Because she got caught.
Yeah.
Not because she did it, but because she got caught.
Right, because stupid. One gets the idea Hillary Clinton cannot stand stupid.
But this whole idea that the Russians were responsible for the leak, therefore it can't be true. And so they're just rumors and lies.
Well, I think that got, but didn't that get put to bed by the DNC tendering a complete apology to Bernie?
Of course.
So, you know, it really is real. The fact that the DNC, probably, you know, being the DNC, being a political organization, probably spent more money on freaking donuts and Hillary Clinton emery boards and packages of printed sunflower seeds than it did on cybersecurity. Well, that's on them.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you're like us, you're kind of caught between the devil and the deep blue dress. I mean, see. Saw what I did there.
Yes, I saw what you did there.
It grieves me to no end. I mean, I voted for Clinton twice, voted for Obama twice, voted for Kerry.
So did I.
Voted for Kucinich in the primary.
Yep.
I have never voted for a Republican in my life, and I don't plan to start. I have voted for Mountain Party candidates here and probably will for governor. But... How can I put this, Carol? And tell me if I'm wrong. Clear consciences don't do much for empty bellies.
No, they don't.
And I and you and I both have real world access to that.
Yes, we do.
And
when we're not sick, we sleep well.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm going to do what I do. You know, of course, and if you'd care to address one more flat-footed move, and that's the thing. The difference between Bill and Hillary is that Bill loved politics. Hillary wants to be president because she feels the hand of fate upon her. Mm-hmm. She knows deep in her heart what an awesome president she can be. And I don't say that sarcastically. You know, Shakespeare said some are born to greatness, others have greatness thrust upon them.
Yep.
But she does not have that abiding love for the press, of the crowd, of the flesh, of the mingled aromas of you know, thousands of people who just want to hear the next pronouncement from, you know, from your engaging lips. Bill had that. She doesn't.
And she hasn't mastered the handshake grip with the other hand on the forearm.
Yeah. Yeah. How's
you
mom?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. How's mama?
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
How's mama Neam?
And then this flat footed thing, courtesy of Jack in Shreveport, you know, bringing Debbie Wasserman Schultz on as honorary campaign chair. How much more flat footed can you get?
Yes. It never happened, and Debbie's sorry, but that she rigged the game in my benefit. And I'm so ashamed of it that I'm making her honorary campaign chair. Says a lot about her character, doesn't it?
Well, it kind of does, and it also, you know, it's also a 3-day-old mackerel left out in the sun, thrown in the face of the several millions of human beings who eagerly and excitedly supported Bernie, whom Hillary desperately needs.
Exactly. And he's been given the plum final speaking spot after Obama.
Who?
Bernie.
No, Bernie's got the spot tonight.
That's what I'm talking about.
No,
isn't Obama speaking tonight?
Michelle.
Oh, Michelle.
And he speaks at 10, and I think she speaks after him.
Not anymore. They
moved
it.
They flopped. Yeah.
They moved it.
You know, I don't like the ugliness that all of this engenders. But I don't.
I think he's going to get booed.
Oh, I think he will too, because I think we're that dumb.
Yeah.
And here's the fun part. You know what'll happen when they boo Bernie? Because the for-profit media will have those, you know those mics that they use on in NFL games that actually catch every time the coach says fuck, but they don't let it out over the air. They can pick up an ant farting in the middle of a goddamn maelstrom.
Exactly.
They're going to have those things trained on the convention floor.
Sure they are. And they're going to do everything they can to make the Democrats look as bad or worse than the Republicans.
Right, and if some delegate says, "Bubla, pass me a drink," that microphone's going to see. We heard somebody say "boo."
Yep.
And it's distressing and it's disturbing. And I don't know. Again, maybe people would, I don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to earn people's respect by saying, you know, Hillary doesn't have a rat's chance in hell in West Virginia, so fuck it, I'm going to go and piss my vote away and vote for Jill Stein so I can scrub up with my 99.99% pure soap every morning.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And I can't do that. I can't do that.
Well, I mean, there are people who do stand to, you know.
I said I wouldn't vote for her, but, you know, it's come down to the fact that there is a madman running on the other side.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to at least say, you know, I made it as clear as I could that I didn't want, you know, a modern day, you know who, running the country. So even though I know that my vote was meaningless, I voted for her not because I was all that thrilled about her, which is why I say I'm with meh.
Carol, I would dearly love it if there was something to get excited about.
There's nothing to be excited about.
Oh, hey, I got to put this out there. Thank you very kindly to Steve and Miss Karen and Cletus. Cletus kicked in his snack money.
A Cletus.
Yeah, Cletus. Cletus is the little four-legged fur baby of Steve and Miss Karen.
Oh.
And Cletus is a she, not a he. And Cletus hides under the bed when the lightning comes, because she doesn't like the lightning.
Well, my Jakey didn't like the lightning either.
And so I get it. Yeah, big thanks to Cletus.
But I bought Barbie a thunder vest for her dog. And she said it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, now, hang on just a damn minute. I've never heard of one of those, such a thing.
A thunder vest?
Yes.
They're these vests that you put on your dog, and it kind of wraps them tight, snugs them up. You know, it makes them feel held. You know how you wrap a baby like a burrito?
Yeah.
Well, their legs are out and everything, but it's still that there's something about it that calms them. And she said it makes all the difference in the world with her dog now, after the little fireworks fiasco.
Aww.
So, yes, you can get it's called a thunder shirt. I think it costs like, I bought it for her. I think it costs like 40 or 45 bucks.
Well, maybe someone will put one in Cletus's stocking this Christmas.
That's true. Anybody who names their dog Cletus, who knows, maybe Auntie Carol will put it in.
Maybe Auntie Carol will, just because Cletus.
Just because you named your dog Cletus.
Oh, by the way, a note coming from Steve in New York, Carol. What do you want to bet? Trump will be tweeting and the for-profit media will have his tweets along the bottom or in split screen while they're booing Bernie.
Of course they will. Of course they will, because it's good television. Sell soap, motherfuckers!
Sell it. Sell it! But I'm just... you know, and there's a little civil war going on in the chat room right now, by the way.
I'm sorry.
Oh, not your fault. Mine. Entirely mine.
So what's the civil war?
It's the civil war between the purists and the practical people.
The realists?
The realists, I guess, yeah. I'll get in trouble for that, too. By the way, we had a... I have to share with you, we have a dispatch from the far and soggy north.
Really?
Yes, your friend and mine. Ron writes on the question of how did we get here. We got here for several reasons. One, all politics, even local, has been machine politics for at least 100 years. All mass media have pushed people towards a binary position because it's easier to deal with for, against, as compared to maybe, possibly, you might be right approach. And finally, a large portion of today's voters have the attention span of gnats, and it's easier to let someone else lead the herd and then follow, as compared to figuring things out for yourself. 105 days until the execution date. Will our appeals be heard? Will we be saved at the last moment? Will we collectively accept the lesser of two evils, or will we step blindly into the abyss? Christ, I wish I could smoke marijuana without immediately going to sleep. I need to mellow out. And by the way, Ron notes, I wear my thunder vest every day in the Middle East. I'll bet you damned well do, Ron. Meanwhile, we've had some correspondence from Jen in Australia. Jen said, growing up, my grandparents had a saying. I don't know where it came from. Never heard anyone else say it. I know when I'm being played, I hear a fiddle a-fiddling. I don't know where two New England Puritans came up with that. I'd swear my grandmother didn't really know what on earth a fiddle is. But it fits now. And, Bob, I'm really frightened. And this is it's accompanied by a beer mug, a sad face, and another beer mug. We all know about disaster capitalism from Naomi Klein's The Shock Doctrine. Yes, we do. Can we coin a phrase, yes, shock campaigning or something? When I came back, you can imagine how many emails were on my computer. Oh, my God, I've blocked the DNC and the DCCC 7 ways to Sunday, and they still get through, thanks, I think, to Daily Kos. Anyway, I was struck by the number of pleas and petitions to help get Merrick Garland confirmed. Oh, my God, it's a disaster. They're obstructing Obama again. This is outrageous. I don't disagree, but I'd swear I deleted 100 emails with his name, as in subject line, ooh, I help get Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court, defend Obama. I suppose on the face of it, sure, it sucks to have to put up with the way the Republicans have chewed on Obama like a rag doll, but what's actually worse has been Obama's swing to the right in order to appease them. So we're all supposed to rally around Merrick Garland in defense of democracy, but the reality is that they're trying to whip us into a frenzy to get a fucking conservative moderate confirmed? Hello? And you know, that's part of the larger problem. You know, Merrick Garland is not, I mean, so, you know, Tim Kaine, while he was governor, had 11 people executed. Now, that's not like he voted to have them executed. He had a chance to not let them kill the prisoner and said, kill the prisoner. All right? So he had him killed. Now, he says that personally, he wishes the death penalty was, you know, not legal. He wished it was banned. And Hillary, you might recall, said the same thing, Carol. Remember?
Yes.
Well, Merrick Garland is not the guy who's going to vote to end the death penalty. Because when criminal defendants come before his court of appeals, please, please, judge, do justice. I was abused. The search warrant was filthy. They blah, 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 blah. He says, ah, good faith. Send him back to prison.
Yep.
And that's frustrating. Look, there's no getting around the frustration that attends being a progressive. But since when was it not? I mean, this is reality. You know, this isn't T-ball where everybody gets a trophy.
Eh, your idealism is showing, Bob.
Yeah, I know. I hate it when that happens.
I know.
And you know, you've got company, Brother Deacon Gerald. I too said, yeah, I wouldn't vote for her, but then I realized there are potentially 3 Supreme Court nominations in the next 4 years. I think we've had a conservative control of the court for a while, enough. That's the single most reason I'll vote for her, even though, as you mentioned it, it will not matter at all in West Virginia. So, there you go.
Well, on a more positive note, a Greene County, Missouri man was accused of having sex with a cow, but he did confess to authorities it was only the second time.
Only the second time.
She wasn't that cute.
You know, there's a story I heard many years ago about a fella down Mingo County way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His wife had been bedfast. He loved his wife and everything, but she'd been bedfast for many years, more than 10 years. And it was long about turkey season, spring gobbler season. And lo and behold, the DNR officer comes up to Eustace's farm. That was his name, Eustace.
Mm-hmm.
Right as Eustace was doing it with one of his goats.
Oh my.
And he said, you know, Eustace, you know, you never cause any trouble. You don't get drunk in town. You behave, you but this is illegal, and I got to run you in. He says, well, I understand. He says, you know, my wife's bedfast and everything. He says, yeah, but it's illegal. So they take him to the magistrate, and he says, I ain't never been in no trouble. Who am I going to get for a lawyer? And she says, well, you know, a small town here, you can have Lawyer Jones or Lawyer Smith. And he goes, which one's the best? And she says, well, Lawyer Smith is the most expensive, but Lawyer Jones is kind of new, and he's known for being able to make a convincing argument to the jury. And so he goes to Lawyer Jones, he mortgages the farm, and Lawyer Jones says, I'll take your case, but only if you promise to do exactly as I tell you. And he says, all right. So the trial commences, and state gets up there and puts on their case, and the DNR officer gets up and talks about it. He walks up, and he's doing it with the goat and everything. And, well, they put on Eustace, and he says, tell us what happened. And he confirms the DNR officer, and he says, and what else happened, Eustace? And he looked at him, and he said, I can't tell that part. And he says, you promised me when you hired me, Eustace. And he says, all right. When that goat got done, she turned around and licked me clean. And one juror looks at the other and says, good goat will do that. Sorry, you mentioned the cow story. I couldn't help.
Sorry, that's funny.
And now I'll get hate mail from the PETA people.
Oh, whatever.
It's a joke. You never really happened.
But just so you know, if you think it couldn't happen, you don't know goats. I just got a... Just got a notification from the Washington Post. 90% of unwavering Sanders supporters plan to vote for Clinton in November. So can everybody shut the fuck up about the Bernie bots?
Amen.
Because I told everybody this was going to happen. 8 years ago, last month, 36% of all the Clinton supporters said that they would never, ever vote for Barack Obama.
Never, ever.
They came around.
Sure they did.
Because they saw what the alternative was. And so...
Yeah, Sarah Palin does that to people. And so do, you know, and so does Bishop Willard in his own way.
Exactly. And I kept telling them, they need to just calm down and stop insulting everybody who supported Bernie. It's not because we thought he was perfect, but because we thought that his ideals and his policies more closely aligned with what we always believed in. And interestingly enough, before he ever mentioned daring to challenge Her Holiness, you know, Bernie Sanders used to talk, and I remember every progressive used to say, he speaks for us. This is exactly what America needs. And the moment he challenged her, he was a communist and he was an atheist and, you know, he was a no good blathering old bastard. And
well, he's not even a real Democrat.
He's not even a real Democrat.
Yeah, Tim from LA. It was good enough when he was running the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. He was damn sure good enough when he was making sure that rural health care was a part of the Affordable Care Act. But Tim from L.A. sent me some excerpts of this one guy on his feed who has done nothing but sleaze all over Bernie Sanders since, like, you know, the early part of 2016. And, you know, it's the same old crap. You know, not a real Democrat. You know, those damn Bernie bros just live in fairy tale land. And you know what? Look, I want to throw something out there for your consideration, Carol.
Sure.
Because we are of a similar age.
That's a nice way of saying you're younger than me.
Well, if that's how you want to take it. I have said all along that one of the reasons that I respect Bernie is because he's talking about issues that matter to people who are, you know, more than a generation younger than him.
Yeah.
He actually understands probably better than Hillary ever will, or Chelsea for that matter, what it is to be young in America. Somehow, I don't know how that happened, but he does. Maybe he remembers his own youth. I don't know.
You get it. I get it.
Right.
I'm saying that there's a certain segment of the, senior population here who has not suffered, you know, total memory loss of where we came from.
Yeah. So, how can I put this? I am willing to defer to the will of the people whose country this actually is. And I would say that's the 45 and under crowd. I mean, you know, with any luck at all, I've got a little more time left on this planet. So do you. Hillary and Bernie's days are, and Bill Clinton's are pretty well numbered, you know? And I don't mean to say that sounding cold or cruel, but they had their shot. The boomers in this country had their shot. Now, did they fuck up everything they touched? Pretty much.
No. Well, not everything.
Not everything, but a lot. You know, there's a whole lot of igamfoo in the boomers. I got mine from you.
Well,
maybe that'll apply to the millennials too. Go ahead.
Here's my problem with the boomers, is that we were actually handed the world on a silver platter. I really feel like that. I feel like we kind of got the best of so much from, because we were past the 50s, the Vietnam War was winding down, civil rights had been passed, things looked like they were going to get better for women. We had a super strong middle class. And then so many of the kids that I went to school with, and it was like, it was funny because it was all the dopers and the whores and the girls who had babies out of wedlock and all that shit. All of them found Jesus. And suddenly, the good girl who stayed home and did everything that she was supposed to do and got straight A's in school. But I'm a Democrat and an atheist. And so suddenly I'm the reason we can't have nice things. Everything that they did was forgiven by Jesus.
Well, of course.
And so they're all living very well. They all, you know, they're all doing okay.
Yeah.
And they don't give a shit about the next generation. And to me, you know, it's like I look at government and particularly the Congress as it is now. They look at people who are just not that much older than us as circle in the drain. So they feed lip service to it. And I'm sorry, but the only thing that we handed the millennials was a shit sandwich on, you know, in a greasy stained pizza box.
Yeah, and so to that end, what I'm kind of getting at is, as far as this election's concerned, I'll kind of defer to the millennials. They're going to be the ones. They're going to be the ones who determine whether or not we get, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, or whether we get the most ambitious woman ever to walk. I mean, if she can be the most capable woman ever to walk the planet, she can damn well be the most ambitious one, can't she? If they stay home and don't cast ballots for her, it's their world they're casting a ballot on that Trump's going to run.
That's right.
And you know, if they think they can, go ahead. No, you.
I said I don't ever forget that they're the ones that are going to be picking my nursing home. Yeah. So I'm nice. Just saying.
Yeah. And so it's their world. And
it is their
and you know, maybe by the time that they're 92, they'll be able to elect Jill Stein president. Granted, she'll be like, when they're 92, yeah, she'll be like, you know, 173, but she'll be about as effective then as now.
They don't want Jill Stein. They wanted Bernie.
Yeah, they did. And they still want Bernie.
They still want Bernie.
And you know, if you're gonna get all third party, then write in Bernie.
Exactly. Well, in my state, you can't do it.
Well, no. Your state is meaningless, like it is here.
Of course. My state was meaningless before the primaries.
Or I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Bernie's not ideologically pure now.
What did we say about demanding pure, you know, ideological purity from anybody? It's bad. It's stupid. And you're only going to be disappointed.
Yeah. So let me share with you a note from Jules. She said, so the roll call vote is still supposed to take place tomorrow. Many are feeling like we've been spit at by the DNC and the Hillary campaign. Why not direct that energy? Just for once, why don't we do something instead of sitting and bitching about shit? If everyone that supported Bernie posts this on social media tonight and gets their friends to do the same, it could spread by morning. We could at least maybe make a point. My idea is to have everyone call their Congress critter and leave messages overnight or call in the morning and tell them to encourage them to contact every superdelegate they know and remind them where HDRC is in the polls right now and that her numbers never go up, not to mention Nate Silver and Michael Moore both calling Trump the likely winner if she runs. I'm not willing to give up yet. Remember, I'm a dreamer, Jules says, but the world needs us more now than ever. Once again, just a last-minute idea. How about we all get up and set our alarms? I tried to call in and sell it myself. I'm sorry, Jules. I said all along, I want the roll call vote.
And
I want the roll call vote. I want the final number. And I don't want any monkeying around with people changing their vote. If she has to win on the second ballot, that's cool.
Absolutely.
It would be,
Jill, you'll get no grief from me. And people who say that they can't vote for her, they will get no grief from me.
Yeah.
It's
a process, and I would like to see the process be the process.
I agree.
Meanwhile, we had a note from a member of the fraternity of Steve. Real possibility that the Dems are going to assert themselves right out of this one and put the orangutan straight into the Oval Office. Where's a little bit of bovine solidarity when you need it? Stocking up on the extra strength four-year painkiller. Regards, Steve, in China. Yeah, China might be a nice place to be for in the next 4 years. Another member of the fraternity of Steve says, the boomers, like in the UK, had the best of both worlds, but both voted to Brexit.
Yep.
I mean, this is... this is not, and maybe we're just panicking. That possibility always exists, Carol. I mean, maybe it looks like this, and you know, hey, maybe come Labor Day, everybody's going to come to their senses, and maybe people will realize what's at stake.
Well, but as long as they realize, there's not going to be any do-over vote.
No, can we remember one other thing too, please, Carol? The only way that GOP vote-stealing strategies work is if the margin is razor-thin.
Yep.
So many people voted for Barack Obama in both 08 and 12 that even though they did steal votes, and you can talk to Brad Friedman and he'll confirm that, I think, they couldn't steal enough of them.
That's right. There was a reason why Karl Rove made a horse's ass of himself that night on Fox News. He was apoplectic when they called Ohio for Obama. He's like, it can't be. It cannot be. He was so convinced that they had managed to steal enough votes that it couldn't have happened. And Megyn Kelly's sitting there going, Carl, it's all right here. The numbers are all right. Do you want to go downstairs where they're doing the analysis? I swear, the fucker is still in the Fox studios waiting for that to change.
Yeah. And
because I haven't heard from him.
And don't think that, well, let's remember this too. When it comes down to nut cutting time, Republicans are always Republicans. They are Republicans first, and whatever else they are is second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, what have you.
Yep.
And they will, when the biggest drama of the Clavern last week is Ted Cruz.
Saying vote your conscience.
Yeah, vote
your
conscience.
Sorry,
that was
too funny.
I LOL'd all over myself.
He couldn't scrape together a conscience collectively from the whole.
No, world. Yeah, vote. You know, conscience to a Republican is the right of a cranky old pasty doughy faced. The pharmacist to tell a girl who was raped the night before that she can't have RU486.
Exactly. I was listening to a political ad on the radio this morning. Paid for by Right to Life Missouri. This candidate has an A+ rating from the NRA. And I'm sitting there going, do you hear yourselves? Do you hear yourselves? So it's paid for by Right to Life, and this candidate is got an A+ rating from the largest mass murder for hire group in the United States. Do you hear yourself?
Nice. Yeah, I know. And just from the Department of Crazy, let's play. Can we play a game of Name That Quote?
Okay.
Because you're going to love this.
Okay.
This is who said it. Affirmative action and slavery and slavery differ, obviously, in significant ways. But it's more a question of degree than principle, for they both spring from the same taproot. Neither can exist without the foundational principle that it is acceptable to force someone into an unwanted economic relationship. Morally and as a matter of law, they are the same.
Sounds like the Kennedy kid.
Actually, no.
That Tony?
No, not even. This is Wisconsin's brand newest member of the state Supreme Court. His name is Daniel Kelly. He was appointed last Friday by Snot Walker. And guess what? That theory, that expression of insanity, is right in line with the Republican national platform.
Sure it is.
And guess what? I guarantee you that any Supreme Court pick by Donald J. Trump, millionaire, who owns a mansion and a yacht, is going to directly espouse that very idea.
Of course.
I mean, this stuff...
You can't make this shit up.
No, you can't. And last week, we saw one of Trump's own advisors call for the murder, again, of Hillary Clinton. And
yeah.
And there are people on supposedly our side of the debate going, well, hell yeah.
No.
Speaking of Benghazi, Al Baldassaro, a member of the legislature from New Hampshire and an advisor to Donald Trump, said, "This whole thing disgusts me. Hillary Clinton should be put in the firing line and shot for treason." Then he went on and called her a piece of garbage. And the question is, how many over here on this side would go, "Damn, Skippy!" You know, I still hang on to that ancient political notion that there is a difference between being opposed to someone and being so blinded by one's own hatred that one wants to see them dead. It appears that line is blurring on both sides.
Well, it isn't blurring for me.
No, it's not. So, but I mean, you know, and it's only going to get worse this week. That's the thing. All the insanity and zaniness and wackiness that we expected out of the Republicans, we're going to get over here on our side.
That's a shame.
And it's going to have more than one mom and more than one dad, and there's going to be a whole bunch of reasons for it. But it doesn't spell anything but potential disaster, does it?
You know, Reuters just put up a post that the North Korean man-child who's running their country says Donald Trump isn't screwy at all. He's a wise choice for president. Okay, think about that. Think about that. Think about who is supporting him. Putin loves him. Kim Jong, whatever the frick his name is, loves him. This is who they're backing? Seriously?
Well, yeah, and I mean to expand the metaphor and go ahead and go all in. I'm sure somewhere in Weimar Germany in 1932, there was somebody saying, you know, I can't vote for that guy who's opposing Hitler. I'm going to write in Pastor Niemöller.
How'd that work out?
But again, if you're in a state that doesn't matter, vote for Bullwinkle J. Moose for all I care. The only votes that matter in this country, it's kind of fucked up, really, when you get right down to it. The only votes that matter in this country are Ohio, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, yep. Iowa. Iowa is only pink. It's not blood red. Iowa could turn.
That would shock me.
Mm-hmm. But it could happen. But on the Democratic side, it's going to be people 45 and younger who are going to decide the fate of an entire nation.
Yes, they are. Ain't going to be people in our little demographic group here, buddy.
Oh, no. My state is going to fail its quadrennial IQ test in spectacular fashion. Because Donald Trump going to bring back the coal. He got a moral center. I mean, at this point in time, we're getting perilously close. And this is going to be hilarious. I've said it before when it happens. We're getting perilously close to the Democratic nominee for governor in West Virginia actually endorsing Donald Trump.
Jesus Christ.
And if that won't make you drink stump liquor, nothing will. Carol, it's lovely out here on the ledge with you. I'm so glad that the internet's let us do it. And if you look carefully, I think about 10 floors down, there's somebody down there walking around with a Make America Great Again hat. Let's see if you
there look, is.
Yeah, let's
hang on.
Let's see if
hang
you,
on, dude.
Okay.
He's I see him and he's yelling USA, USA.
You gotta hold on. No, you gotta make sure. Okay, you gotta make sure the cherry's still going. And if
it's
and
hot.
You gotta lead him. You gotta lead him. If you hit him right, that polyester hat will go up in a burst of. But 1, 2, 3. Damn.
She shoots and she scores.
Yeah, I missed him a little bit, but you nailed him. Oh, have a good night, Carol Baker.
You too, my friend.
Talk to you soon. Bye now.
Bye.
The one, the only Queen of the Minions, Carol Baker. And thank you very kindly. Thank you very much indeed to the CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, Harold, for meeting Labor Man's challenge and for Steve, Ms. Karen, and Cletus meeting the beginnings of Chris and Germany's challenge. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Steve, Karen, and Cletus. $90 to go on that challenge, and we will have the Swede done beat. Can we do it? Well, we'll have to find out come Wednesday, because I'm going to be deep throating a garden hose in about 10 hours. Yuck. Y'all have a great time tomorrow. See if you can play nicely with each other. Back on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. One and all. Good night, y'all.